Bonsoir, Mohammed Rekha Shahada. I put everything to my divine grace. This time found that the AC Bhaktivedanta Swami said, Roba Ki. Jai Om Vishnu Upaya Muhammad Rekha Shahada. Jai Om Vishnu Upaya Muhammad Rekha Shahada. Jai Om Vishnu Upaya Muhammad Rekha Shahada.
Jai.
Shri Ramama Shantra Hariyasu Korti.
Jai.
Vain Shekho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Bhauri Kananda. Shri 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 Shri
Shri
Sri Vaha Krishna Samyakul Vargun Gigo Dhani Ki
Jai
Vrindavan Dham Ki
Jai
Maturya Dham Ki
Jai
Naguri Dham Ki
Jai
Vimuna Mahari Ki
Jai
Ganga Mahari Ki
Jai
Lati Devi Ki
Jai
Bhakti Devi Ki
Jai
Samaveda Bhakti Vrinda Ki
Jai
All glories are glories to Sri Guru All glories are glories to Sri Guru All glories are glories to Sri Guru All glories are
glories to Sri
I was so happy yesterday. I actually didn't know. In fact, I came into the temple yard and you were back. And Nityananda was back with many of you here. And then I was so delighted to hear the Lakshmi Moni. It was coming all the way from Alaska. And that my wonderful guard, protector, Malati Devi Dasi. I have so many special goblins and goddesses. When I think of the stories that are dear to me, like Jamona and Nina Tarni, I think of Malati and Lakshmi. And so I was thinking maybe they were coming, you know, they're my big sister and goddesses. And they keep me in line. So every now and then they send me a line. Okay, Swami. What's up? So I think they had to come to, Lakshmi had to come to death and see, is this guy really dying? You know, I do all kind of tricks to preach. So, maybe I've done the Maha trick. So I got people thinking I'm leaving the body and, all of a sudden I jump out of all of this stuff. If I all so-called rational, reading which I'm leaving, actually the doctors are shocked I haven't left already. The degree of melanoma cancer that I have. Forgive me for bringing us all up here, but at the same time, I have cancer of Darshan with my deity. I hadn't come downstairs in quite a while. Yesterday was quite the experience. Never down the stairs, so I was determined somehow to come for the festival. Hugo? We need a chair for you, please. This is the one I'm going to have to give him a chair. Let's see. You can come in. Yes. Sure. Good. Many of us are a little sick of it. So. So we, I was talking about, okay, there's different ways to preach. Just like now, when I have you sign any release, so you forgive us again. What you're doing now is being televised. We have our going into our 9.5-10 year TV show. And so these charity programs, they do 5 things or so. I guess 4 or 5. Is that we use it for our weekly television program. We also, now they're putting it on the website. And therefore, devotees, well wishes, anyone who wants to tune in. Here's the message. It's been transcribed, particularly for the Ukrainian and Russian disciples of mine, so then it's translated into Russian. And more important is that, or as important, for me at least, is that this is perhaps the last book that I'm writing. My writing is for self-purification, as well as to try to share something. So these are readings from the book, Die Before Dying. And the devotees are trying. It looks like they're pretty much, on target. I was asking to see for Subal. Subal, looks healthier than he is, but he's had so many transplants and sugar diabetes. Are you okay? All right. He's one of our, actually he's the, one of the anchor devotees. Aja, Sita, Vivekata, I need them here. school serves the book writing. And so I asked them, I said, you know, I don't know if I'm going to be able to attend any of the programs, but I'm planning. I have to try as best as possible. I'm come to New Vrindavan. I'm invited to do a program in Houston and Dallas. I want to do a course, do a seminar on grieving with the idea of trying to help myself, help the world wishers, and help the disciples of Samoa, the Krishna Maharaj. Because grieving has many stages. And when you lose your father, mother, or spiritual master, especially when it's very abrupt, that it takes a while, to process it. Sometimes people are afraid to deal with their grieving and they get stuck at certain stages. Other times there's not sufficient support systems, or there is lack of advice. Now that sometimes we don't want to go through emotions so much, even though Vaishnava Bhakti is the reservoir of emotions that you have to remove from another liberty. But of course, it's emotions that's directed towards the soul and towards spiritual aspects, and not a matter of lamenting because of material concerns. It's like my two daughters is here. And at one point, I just started writing all my letters, going to see the Prabhupada service with love. So now this is a little unorthodox. So now I see writing like this, and what they say, writing to the pastors also. You wrote in Prabhupada service with love, writing love letters. Although probably every other letter he will get is a love letter. Isn't that who it comes from? Oh dear Guru Maharaj, I am thinking of you. I'm meditating on your lotus eyes. My heart is fully for you. As a matter of fact, whatever you desire, just let me know. My body, my mind, my soul, it's all for you. Not only this lifetime, but next lifetime also. The secretary of the Guru, I don't know how they deal with it. Then the next day, there is such and such stuff, such and such stuff. He's jumping up. Oh, Guru Maharaj. I'm the one who wrote the letter to you. Anyway, we want to access love. That is from the heart. We don't want to have the pre-dying robe or pre-dying dula, which is of the heart, a disease of the heart. And bhakti is of the heart. So I was writing these letters, and I for my best well wishes, because they were wondering, what's happened to the Swami? I mean, you could be this is going to get the next one, get married or something. So I explained a long way that I wanted to remind us all that Prabhupada's service should be done lovingly, and that our movement is bhakti, and about trying to reach Bhagavan, to being bhaktas, and all of this is the culture of love. There's always also to help me with my own personal perceptions, and to think that each devotee is a chance to serve Krishna, a chance to serve Guru. And so this is the Guru's to think each disciple is an aspect of his own Guru that has appeared in a multifold way so that he can be able to serve his Guru in disguise and such forth. So I wanted to read continue as we try, and I'll try to make it a little short because it's possible I would like some of our your uncles and aunties to share something, or they can answer the questions, or we'll see how fast I can move through this. We have a certain amount of time for the TV, so I'll have to use most of the time. But I'm going to read a kind of a ambiguous meditation this time, called I Am a Survivor. Now each of these meditations were done as I'm experiencing this terminal illness. Most of them were in Mexico when I was in the clinic. And then I was involved in Hawaii, in and out of the hospital and emergency and going through treatments. So I would write the meditation according to what was happening at that time, mainly with the idea of trying to prepare myself for the transition, and the utilitarian that I am, to see how I could use death or use this experience to share something. Considering that I want to die on the battlefield. And one of the best ways to do that is to keep working on self-purification and also to keep crying out and to share some of that. So in this book, and they're going to have it ready. We're praying, and I think they're on time, so that when I come to New Vrindavan, I can be able to make the book available. And I'm going to do my course. Is this the book? Is there any course, man? Okay, so I haven't told some of my deities that the book will be ready. So we're doing it now, and they're working in the last day on that. We're supposed to be printers. So I was going to do my course then on some of the topics. Die before dying. May very well be my last class. What a nice place to get that kind of class at. So, there are different meditations that we've been trying to share, a different one each Saturday. And the day after coming back last night from the temple, I was thinking, which meditation will I share? And I was just reflecting on how some of my caretakers, they have been really trying for quite a while. Many, many ways, you know, we've tried so many different modalities. So many different, you know, the protocols. And basically anything that somebody suggests to us now, doesn't matter what part of the world, has always been so kind in researching and presenting things. And sometimes we're not answering as much, but devotees should know that it's because we've actually tried all of these things. And at least a half a dozen of them could have worked and may have worked, but when it is one's time, then it is the time. What is it? Rake Krishna, Marike, Mari Krishna, Rake. That when Krishna wants someone to go, you go. When Krishna wants someone to stay, you stay. When your guru is calling you for a service, you don't say, well, hold a minute. Why don't you wait another 10 years? Thank you, Maharaj. I mean, I'm too busy doing something else, you know. I'm too busy serving you. I don't have time to serve you. You know, so be okay with that, you know. So up until, I think very recently, I think Prabhupada had not made a decision. I feel he's made the decision. It's just a matter now of how soon is. And soon in material time is different from spiritual time. So I see that I could be leaving in weeks, or I could be leaving in, you know, a few months. So if I keep trying to do something in the body a little longer, maybe at least stay a little longer, just do a big closure in a few ways. But basically, pretty much after next week, other than a few seminars and things, that I won't be so much thinking about this identity, about the previous down favorite, Kamisham, Swami Krishna Pad, and something of the past. I think it will be a problem. We can try. Can we try? There's a monitor there. I mean, okay, if the devotees, they can come into the cell. But if they can stand in the hall, then perhaps they can see the monitor. We can try. Let's see. Again, I'm sorry to crack us all in like this. Okay. I think I still should let him try to save me down with some people here. So, we want to speak on I am a survivor. Now, there's the G.T. Swami at Calm and the IFAS, different conferences. Especially with my disciples, the Russian conference, Spanish conference, etc. And I don't, of course, participate in any of those conferences, even the ones in English, but every now and then somebody updates me with something that's being said. So the other day someone told me something funny. Someone says, almost every class you give, you're crying. So one or two disciples or some are wondering, maybe that's the time your Guru Maharaj really doesn't want to go. Every time he's afraid to be. Basically, the devotees, they're not afraid of death. You may have our own idea of when we're supposed to go, how we're supposed to go. I mean, I'm the guy with the chills to go if I can. But, no, my heart chakra is opened up, and it's like even that night when I was seeing the devotees, I was just doing everything the devotees were crying. So the sentiments are there, and it's not a matter of being sad that I'm sick. This is a very exciting experience. I mean, it's cumbersome. You know, they have to pick me up, they have to take me to the bathroom, they have to pick me up with the baby now. And, you know, the side of the body is almost paralyzed, and, you know, I get 1.5 legs, and, you know, if I do a whole list of things I have, you'll be mad. I mean, you know, you want some of it, you can have one, you know. I'll give you the arthritis or the diabetes or high blood pressure. I got a whole arsenal. Things. But, you know, it's cool because you either find ways to maintain gratitude because Krishna doesn't make any mistakes. What it's like in my case was I brought of this on myself for the most part. And some part of it also is my own purification as well. But the bigger part, I think, is more my concern about the devotee community, my concern about the suffering, and my desire to take on something extra and to be used in some way to impact. And so, because my astrology and all things, whatever that word, said I have a long lifeline. My genetics, my father lived to be 96, my mother almost in her 90s, and so, that long lifeline. But that's been altered, but put on the fast track. And maybe that's Christian mercy. I stayed around too long, I may have become a rascal. So, Lord, it's always me to think, well, put him out now before. Do something embarrassing. So, I'm going to read briefly meditation on I am a survivor. Someone just told me the other day that there's a TV program called that? Survivor? Yeah. She's watching these things. And every now and then I make a seatbelt, so. No, I just heard about it, but. I think that there's a number of programs kind of like that where people are put against each other in competition in a very, very, very vicious way. And individuals enjoy that because, you know, it's like the time of the gladiators. I mean, the savagery is so intense that nobody wants to just know that they're actors. They want to see people actually suffer and beat each other and kill each other, you know? So they have the cameras come in with the policemen. They want to see them literally knock down the door and grab the actual drug, the person or this person, that person. So no, it's just acting. They want to see the real gruesomeness. So I was thinking how in that kind of a movie, people put together against each other, and the idea is who is going to survive, who can be more like God, who is the strongest, who is this, who is that. And of course, ultimately we know that, you know, nobody can have all the opulences of Krishna. But at the same time, people in this material world, material bodies, are trying. But really, nobody really is the real survivor. Because in any kind of environment like that, even the one who so-called wins, that person has taken on so much trauma, so much bombardment of whatever the situation was, so many wounds or so whatever. And so, the person really is not really a survivor, they're an experiencer. Maybe they endured it in some way a little longer. So, there was a point when I was trying to write, almost every beggar I've written, for lack of a better word, you know, many of my books are lectures and things transcribed, but the beggars are written by me where I just go somewhere and cry and pray and scream and yell and sit down by a river or sit on a rock or something, and I write. And so basically, my beggars have been written, I feel, like a better word, in office space. And sometimes, 98% of the time, I go, I sit down, it was some theme in mind, but it comes out a different way. So when I saw this title, I'm a survivor, I was trying to write that I have kicked the hell out of this cancer. but it just wasn't coming out that way. I kept trying, and I just let it come. So some of that may seem to be there, but basically, it really concludes that nobody, you know, really survives. You know, we are wounded in different ways as we struggle with the true energy, and we don't mind it. We don't mind sacrificing and being wounded in the service of our spiritual masters. As Bhakti notes that any suffering that I encounter in behalf of my service to Krishna is my greatest joy. Now, I'm writing now, you'll see, I guess you'll see on one of the websites, that sometimes God, believe God says, just write me. And a couple of times I'm asked if they don't mind if I share it. So this couple of days ago, Guru John wrote me a letter, and he was asking this question concerning suffering. And knowing that I was trying to somehow create the mood of Vasudev Datta. And so his concern was, suffering really isn't really only transformed by higher consciousness, by understanding it and just dealing with it, whatever makes sense. And so he wanted to know what my expressions were, and I basically felt that devotees like him, when they write me, it's mainly their mercy, their love, and Prabhupada using them to help me to reflect. So I reflected and I sent a letter. Basically, the summary of it was that, yes, if we look at Adi Adnagadi, David and Adi Bhoti, everybody suffers. It's a matter of how much and what degree. You know, we're suffering from our mind, from our body, from material nature, and that's there. And that's the call for being in the material world. So that's there in the background. But then I explained, but it's quite interesting that phenomenal is that when you suffer without knowledge, your suffering is worse. And when you suffer and you know that somebody loves you, it helps to minimize some of your own suffering. Some of you have seen sometimes you've been ill, and a relative or a friend has just tried to call you or come see you or offer you this, offer you that. None of that stuff is working. But they're offering you this syrup and this Ayurvedic treatment and this homeopathic treatment. And it ain't working. But your suffering is less. Because, you know, their love is a real potion, and it helps sometimes to minimize it. And then I explain how suffering is less sometimes when you see somebody suffering more than you. You know? And then your own suffering is still there, but it's a little less because you realize it could be worse or you see someone else's worse. And then, of course, we looked at the mood of Ramanujacharya, Vasudev Datta, Prahlad, how their concern was the benefit and welfare of others, and how Krishna intervened. One of his servants is suffering. Well, Krishna intervened and one of his servants is making a request on behalf of other suffering. So I said, so all of these, I think, to be considered as I try to look at this and look at and be, and as I'm joyful being used in some way. And then I said, then after I'm gone, that my little service to Prabhupada will be even more impacting. But there was a time when I was thinking I was going to be a survivor, and I was going on intellectual speculation if I'm going to survive or not. And then I realized, fortunately, unfortunately, I realized that what I was asking for and wanting to do in this time, at this time, in terms of impacting and opening up the heart a little bit, helping us all even more than think more about how any of us can go at any time, allowing us to be a little more mindful, and so many things. You know, we all try to do in our service. I realized that if I did fully pull out of this, it wouldn't be the same. It wouldn't be the same for so many of my disciples, it wouldn't be the same for my God brothers, it wouldn't be the same even probably for me. You know, sometimes we feel a certain way, and then we're out of that. And when we're dealing with more destitute, and then we're well, you know, we kind of go back to business as usual. So as I started to walk through this, I realized, I'm going. Because I've asked Prabhupada to use me the best way possible. I did my first MRI. I went and just put me on that conveyor. I just made my body and mind so as much as I could. It's yours, Prabhupada. So whatever I got experience, whatever it is, let it happen. And so I thought, well, now which way am I going to be able to serve Prabhupada the most based on my little situation? And I realized that I would have to leave the body. That my going all the way through this would offer more to the Vaishnava community. Then that may sound strange, that might sting. So you watch the color factor and you'll see. I think this will be the case. So let's talk about this. I am a survivor who is almost a contradiction. I see moron. We may have a few more weeks and more days, and I'm reading I'm a survivor. Violence and war, we need to raise the windows more we can. Violence and war are prevalent all over the planet. Every 15 seconds, one person murders another person somewhere. That is a globalist. Now, I saw some statistics yesterday also, and this is a little frightening, because even some of you who are sitting here have cancer. In America, 38% of the citizens will have cancer in the next 5 years or so. That's unbelievable. Something like 33% of women now are coming down with cancer. So I mean, it's a phenomenal disease. It has a lot to do, with modernity. The introduction of television in many countries, the murder rate has doubled within the last 15 years. One living entity is food for another, with a jivo, jivasa, jivanas. Not only do different nations attack each other, but members of the same ethnic groups, institutions, religious groups, and even families are constantly in conflict. The greatest violence is often the violence each individual perpetuates on him or herself by unhealthy addictions, bad habits, and unhealthy lifestyles. And this is by Loba, and Karma, and Matsurya, Baya, all these enemies of the mind, fear, and enviousness, and greed, and lust. One of the greatest sicknesses is cancer, which is among the world's greatest threats to a healthy physical existence. It is no accident that many people come down with cancer, and here's some sociological, physiological issues that we all need to be careful about now. Because we all have so many cancer genes or germs or parasites in our body. And those who are coming down, it has a lot to do with their resistance, not being able to use it, not being able to keep a healthy balance. It is no accident that many people come down with cancer after a great trauma in their lives, such as the death of a dear one, a divorce, or the loss of an important job. In other words, people are more prone to come down with cancer after something traumatic has happened in their life that affects their mind, and then affects their body. The loss of a job, or something was devastating, just flash fire, divorce, or a death of someone who's dear. And so the immune system is weakened. In other words, a very upsetting event takes place that causes the mind to experience great disturbances. And such mental energy sends unhealthy messages to the neural transmitters. Some years ago I gave a lecture at the American Medical Association, and I capitalized off this again, mind and body, and I talked about how the physiological benefits of love. And I was explaining how someone doesn't feel love, then the mind sends messages to the neurotransmitters, the different organs, and it's like anxiety, fear, all of these things, they're mental, they like attack different organs within the body. And there are many studies and reports showing how those who feel love, they live longer, they recuperate faster from disease, they are less acceptable to certain things. If someone is in the room, who you have severe depression for, it often can affect whether a person lives or dies according to some situations. Anyway, it goes on. You see the literature. So cancer cells, and it's an accident that many people come down with cancer after great trauma. Unhealthy messages are sent to the neurotransmitters which then attack various organs and tissues in the body. Cancer cells are like intruding enemies that are highly trained for espionage work. They sneak into the body, often hiding for many years. It's like we've noticed that most of the treatments we've tried have actually worked for minutes. And then the cancer just finds a way to get around them. You know, the cancer mutates, or it hides for a while, and then it comes forth. Like now I got cancer from the legs and amputated, the cancer come back there, I got it here, it's from here, it's from, we don't know how the other place. But hides and then comes forth. Cancers, they hide for many years, but sometimes people go to remission and it comes back. This is Maya, or evil, sin, is always around and waiting for an opportunity to capitalize whenever there's a weakness. Wherever we're weak, particularly, is going to be an area that Maya is going to attack each of us. So I'm amongst the hundreds or millions of people attacked by cancer. Presently, tens of millions who are attacked by cancer have died. Tens of millions are dying. And millions are seeing themselves as cancer survivors. It is, however, an illusion that someone thinks that they have survived cancer or any attack of death. For no one actually defeats or conquers over death. You know, whatever sickness or whatever one may do with their body, the ultimate result is the same to them. Is that it's death. At best, we only postpone the inevitable, but death is still around the corner. Sometimes you hear people explain how they are survivors of what? Of alcoholism, of child abuse, of abandonment, of their parents, of rape, of battery, other such painful experiences. But actually, none of these people are really survivors. Each of them have been traumatized by the difficulty, even though they have somewhat passed through these devastating experiences. Each person is still marked. And each person still carries impressions and wounds from their challenges. So there are many different types of support groups, and sometimes people have too much of their identity based on that trauma that's happened in their life. Yes, it's necessary to face the trauma, but literally to name it, to face it, to feel it, and to release it. But there are times when a person holds on so much to what has happened that they can't go outside of that identity of being the child of alcoholic parents, of being a rape survivor. And so every month or every couple of weeks they go for the group, and unfortunately the support later turns into a reinforcement of that situation. Many people meet regularly. It's like we're all traumatized by so many things that happened to us in many, many lifetimes. Or just say in this lifetime. And we're all, we're going to look closer at the end, a few minutes, is that we're all benefiting from so many of the wonderful submissions and reciprocation and really good traumas that have come into our life. And we're the products of those, the good and the bad. Many people meet regularly in support groups to check in and discuss how they are 5-year, 10-year, or 14-year survivors. It is wonderful that such support groups help people be open and honest. You tell them downstairs to turn off the heat. I just have somebody in the on the steps, tell them downstairs they can turn off the heat. We have enough stuff in here. We keep more people around. We can cut down on the heat bill. It is wonderful that such support groups help people to open and be honest about their most difficult challenges. It is also very wonderful that such people can have a safe environment where they can discuss these problems with other folks who not only understand but fully empathize with them. However, many people have no identity other than being a survivor of a particular trauma. By constantly accepting and identifying themselves with the trauma, it can consequently make them stagnant, for they may find that their whole lives revolve around that which has traumatized their lives. Their identity as a survivor is ambiguous, because no one has really survived anything. Their experiences remain a part of their consciousness have impacted upon their being. At one point I was trying to really evaluate, why did I make this sort of prayer? You know, how much ego was involved in this? Sometimes we have ego, we want to be a martyr. And ego has all kinds of ways of surfacing. We want to be the most famous. We want to be the most humble. We want to be the most humanly compassionate. We want to be the martyr. Everyone thinks in there remembers us. Oh, yes. How wonderful, Martin. So I was thinking, come on now. How much ego is in this? And then I came to a realization that I could not make that prayer. You know, one or two times the people told me to take it back. And I thought, yes, maybe I can take it back. Because it's too heavy. What's going to come next? You know? I got a few more things to experience, and I'm thinking, I don't even know what I got now. You know, I was thinking it was really difficult every time you get a leg and walking on crutches and a walker. The next thing I know, I can't even use crutches now. I don't have the muscle strength even to walk on a walker. So I thought, hold on, you know, what's going to be next? Yeah, really. Okay, I'm going to get ready for that one. But I realized that I could not make that prayer. And so, now why I could not make that prayer is because what I do as well as what any of you do is based on so much about what we bring into this body, into this world. It's based on our service. It's based on also blessings, mercy, and effort. And so my own traumas from previous lifetimes has put me in a situation where certain things I could not do. And so it was a matter of time. And so therefore I made that prayer because I didn't have a choice. And it's wonderful. You can really enjoy something. You don't have a choice, but you do it and you feel like you're doing it with freedom. You feel, oh yes, I have done that. When in fact, you didn't have a choice. You have to clean up the house. And you have to do it because it's part of what you have made committed to. But then you go early, you clean the house up, and you go, oh yes, I clean the house. Well, you had to do it anyway. But it allows you to feel more in control. Even if the experience did not bring, because I look back, you know, I've been going over my diary notes down the Brahmachari, and I saw almost from day one, I've been praying to be forced to do whatever is necessary, knowing how crazy my mind is. And I've been praying and writing diary notes in the mood of Vasu Devdana. I surely didn't understand it then, don't understand it now fully. But as we do make submissions, they're heard. And they're accepted in such a way. No one actually defeats or conquers over death. At best, we only postpone the inevitable, but death is still around the corner. Many times people think that they will very easily survive a test or a challenge, even in operation. The teacher, supervisor, doctor may say how it is very easy, which is routine or ordinary. Experience to pass through. But often, the person still fails, or the patient dies. Other times, the teacher, supervisor, or doctor explains how it is a most difficult situation with a slim chance of survival. However, the person not only avoids devastation or death, but he or she achieves very high and comes out of the situation with great success. We've always seen this. And the doctor says, oh, no problem, it's a routine thing, you just take out your tonsils. And the person dies. Oh, it's a simple thing. And then sometimes it's very, very complicated. It's only a 90% chance. Only 10% chance this person is going to live. And they do. Which shows that there's greater factors involved. The ultimate outcome depends on the Lord. Very few people these days are surviving the devastating effects of Orthodox society. The attacks which come from gambling, meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex have fully captured most of the entity. These great enemies basically enslave people because most of the time they accept these influences gladly. Actually, it is difficult for someone to avoid the influences of enslavement. Maya or illusion is stronger than anyone since he is a perfect servant of the Lord who has the duty to test the jivas and to prepare them for eventually returning home back to Godhead, to the spiritual world. Therefore, no one can defeat her alone. She is surely an equal opportunity employer who does not discriminate. Dadi Yashagunamai, Ma Maya Dirachaya. Mam Eva Yapapad Yante, Mayam Esam Tarantite. This divine energy of mind, Krishna says, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who who have surrendered unto me can easily, he says, cross over. When Maya attacks, it is difficult for anyone to defeat or conquer over her influences. However, with sufficient help from Krishna and his special agents, Maya can easily be avoided or even become a servant of such devotees. When the fortune of the entity is blessed with special mercy, the great gift of prema descends on him or her. Such a devotee will also not survive because this special mercy will change him or her forever. Having come just once in contact with Bhav and prema, the devotee's life will never be the same again. And then I come to conclusion with a few the last points. Also, if one is fortunate to get a moment's association with a pure devotee of the Lord, this will be their greatest benediction. As we know, sadhu sangha, sava shastra koya, lava matra sadhu sangha, sava kini hoya. So we're saying that one of the greatest boons for a devotee is to be traumatized by the association of a pure devotee, to be traumatized by the culture of prema, the culture of love. And so one will never be the same. Just like if you have contact with pure devotee, you'll never be the same. If you're receptive, you get blessed. If you're offensive, you're cursed. You carry a curse with you. You'll never be the same. There's no question that as we are traumatized materially by these things and we really survive them, there's no question that we really survive the association of the pure devotees of the Lord. That they are carriers of such bhakti. And so as we have a wonderful chance to honor that, we get benedicted. And if we don't, then we carry the consequences. There are so many souls who Prabhupada just has little time with, and they are eternally benefited. There's so many Gopinathas who never even had a chance to even speak to Prabhupada, but they have dedicated themselves so intensely. The other people who met Prabhupada are the people who served Prabhupada, and in high positions. And because of minimizing the association and what it was thereof, they just used their intelligence for rationalizing all kinds of things, or they thought that their intelligence was sufficient to understand purity. And so because of lack of humility, if someone isn't properly humble, you're in trouble. Guru Tattva, Vishnu Tattva, Jiva Tattva are very difficult. And so when there's humility, there will always be progress. And when there's lack of humility, there's always danger. So Krishna consciousness is itself a very electrified process. And it has very electrified personalities. Why are we participating? If it is something historical, then what is the benefit? And if Krishna is not sufficiently merciful, then it means Krishna is merciful, it means he's constantly arranging that there is purity for ability for one to take advantage. Because otherwise there is no sufficient progress if there's not also living examples of purity. We can't just only become pure by reading books. We can't only become pure by reflecting on what happened in the past. We have to have from time to time living examples of what we read. Otherwise our faith will not be strong enough to break through the molds of a material nature. Or our ability to work on ourselves will not be strong enough because we'll not have sufficient examples to be able to work on. But if we do not have sufficient humility, even when we have that, we will miscue it. We will not see it. Some people have served Prabhupada or met him and never able to understand what he was giving us. Like our two mothers here. So they have survived in so many ways. And they even had husbands who were in high positions and even in the renowned state. And even though they've gone through that kind of trauma, they still stayed, they did not leave. You know, so often we may be persuaded because what we deal with ourselves, or our friends, or those who hear to us, is natural that we are product of sangha, product of association. But then when you're challenged directly by those who are most dear to you, or you're challenged by my attacking you where you're most weak, and somehow you keep saying yes and yes to Krishna, Krishna is watching that in the heart. And one's bank account, spiritual bank account, is growing and growing and growing and developing. Now someone may not be able to recognize what that means of being that kind of warrior in Prabhupada's service. Rukmini and Anutana. They could very easily just do a typical kind of retired thing and just take care of themselves and consider that, look, you know, they've done their austerity, you know, they've just gone through so much, tolerated so much. But at this time in their life, even in the pure world, people would be retiring. That they're thinking more and more ways of how to try to serve the Vaishnava community. Newton is stretching himself in so many ways and meeting so many people, doing so many contacts, so many great things, which is risky on behalf of trying to help the movement. Rukmini is having to deal with so much business and things. You don't want to do that. He can deal with all of that as a way to facilitate the movement, facilitate her family. He could retire for easy. So we have all of these wonderful devotees. And that's why when people from some, with all blessings, people from other groups, and they say, oh, this kind, you know, they're just administrators, you know, where are the serious devotees? Well, hold a minute. Haribo, where's your eyes? You know? Do you think Simal Krishna Maharaj, Shri Maharaj, just went to Krita Loka? Huh? You think Gokavinda Maharaj, you know, just went to the heavenly kingdom? When they were on the planet, how did you think of them? When they were on the planet, how much did you see them as carriers? How much did you look and think of what wasn't happening? Shri Maharaj is explaining, we're talking about it very clear. And I wrote it in one of my first discussions about my realizations I'm having, that goes to this. One of my first realizations was effort is extremely important, but mercy is more important. And that our Prabhupada's position and the position of the Guru is so much more than we think, because as basically as we have to leave here, it's all in the mercy of the Guru. And that if somehow we have just done the necessary, we have every right that the spiritual master compliments and snatches us out of the body and takes us back. Like in the case of the spirit world. You know, I may sound very arrogant to people. I'm just, you know, having dual feelings. I've been excited about leaving because I'm convinced that when the right time is there, my Guru Maharaj is going to carry me to his service. And so I'm excited in that way. And at the same time, I'm looking and thinking, okay, let me make sure that I've brought closure in all the ways as necessary. And I'm getting a lot of help. His body is getting so broken down that when it's time to go, I'll be more than ready. making it so inconvenient. And many of you will be more than ready because you'll be thinking, okay, you know, we don't want to see this guy go through anymore, you know. Krishna, take him. Yeah. But it's not a matter of, I hope, ego, but it's a matter of faith and knowing how much mercy is a part, especially in Kali Yuga, of our system. And how, if we able to do like these devotees that have done, that mercy is there. Every time you water talk, every time you have darshan, every time you chant, and every time you avoid, especially making offenses, it means you just constantly, you know, be positive. You make offenses, then you're withdrawn. But if you're just constantly fixed in such ways, then it means one success is guaranteed. So let me end this. Sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, sava shastra koi, lava master, sadhu sangha, sava shirihoi. The verdict of all regal scriptures, of course, is that even a moment's association with pure devotee, one can attain success. Chaitanya Paramita Mahavira 22-54. This is the real purport of being a survivor. A genuine survivor is one who can say, I am a survivor, and we end with these points. So just to reflect these last points. A genuine survivor is one who can say, I am a survivor of Krishna's and the pure devotee's special mercy. Just as violence can be sent on one through all types of inauspicious attacks, just as cancer is attacking millions of people, just as all kinds of traumatic experiences can attack people throughout their lives, just as people come together in survivor and support groups, we must develop the consciousness whereby we are pleading for the real attack and the traumatic experience of Bhava and Krishna Prema. How wonderful to be counted amongst those who will be able to say, I am a survivalist of Krishna and the pure devotee's special mercy. All other areas from which we think we survive and free ourselves from the difficulties are only very temporary, because death will still find a way to defeat us. For the most fortunate jiva who is traumatized by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, he is also permanently affected, but also in the most glorious way, such a soul can be a part of the transcendental support groups that are commissioned by the Lord and his eternal associates. They have so many realizations, experiences, and pastimes to share with each other. All who are fortunate enough to get their association will, of course, benefit. I am the beggar. I, the beggar, pray that one day I can say that I am a recipient, a survivor of the blessings of Prema from the Lord and his pure devotees, who are the authorized carriers and distributors of such mercy. I, the beggar, am praying to be divinely traumatized by the mercy of the Lord and his pure devotees. Amen. So, it's kind of an oxymoron with saying about surviving while we are being devastated by terminal illness. And so in today's discussion, we were just trying to look closer at the fact that nobody really survives anything. Anything that we encounter has become a part of us. This is the position of Sambandha, of association. There's no neutral, pure neutral association except in the spiritual world. Anytime we associate with someone, you're either receiving or you're giving, you're either raising consciousness or your consciousness is being brought down. Therefore, we want to be more mindful about who we associate with and how we associate. In each case, if we're having the mood of being a servant of the servant, then our associations will be very beneficial. That if someone is seemingly inferior to us, then we have a duty to associate with them. Is that an example that will help to serve? If someone is a peer, we have association to reveal our minds and perceive the changes of love and to be open for open criticism and receiving assistance and comradeship and fraternity. And if someone is superior to us, we have a duty to try to hear and to follow the example. But in each case, there should be the mood of servitorship. So no one survives. The weather position of service is going on. One is either benefiting, moving more toward liberation, or getting more connected with stagnation and incarceration. Especially how we relate to each other every day has so much to do with what's really going on, you know, with our survival issues. Whether we're going to be more traumatized by Marchaloka, traumatized by sense gratification in the Mahabharata, whether we're going to be traumatized by devotion and love. And so every moment we are making choices. Every moment we're dealing with what we've already experienced from the past, which is preparing us for the future. And somehow we are able to just make ourselves more available for being traumatized by Krishna and his devotees. Then that kind of trauma is wonderful, and we all want to be those kind of survivors. A survivor of the attack of Bhava. Survivor is like somebody gets attacked, you know, by the lightning bolt, you know. Oh, hellish. But we can be attacked, you know, by a prema, because it is there, and the servants of the Lord are looking to see how to help us. Krishna has so many agents that are looking to see how to help us. And this is why we're fortunate to be a part of this prampara. Is that Bhagavan is looking to see how to help. Palat Maharaj looking to see how to help. We are connected with this as part of Lord Caitanya's mission. And our direct grandfather, or father, or father, he's looking to see how to help. So if we are needy, then we can be helped fast if we are align ourselves to receive it. And we're all needy to different degrees, but sometimes we are very needy, and we're not thinking that we're so needy, and because of that, we don't get as much help as we can. When we're put more in a dependent state, we recognize that we're more needy. And therefore, our chance for help becomes stronger. So maybe there's a few short questions we may have. Or maybe we'll forego the questions. And let's let, if my God sisters or God brothers, would you like to share anything today? I think that's better than me, you know, taking questions. I've already done my actor thing. I've given my little presentation for the TV. I'm bad enough. I'm still going to be a movie star. Go ahead. I just. Next week, if I'm still here, I'll take questions. Tune in next week. Then Swami will still be around. If you'll still remember that he said we can have questions then. But we want to pass it to the gospel, right? Your auntie? Yes. You're all survivors, so if you can just share something about your realization of survivorhood.
When I was listening to you speak, I kept remembering the verse of Queen Kunti, with the best compassion, so I kept the best perspective, that she actually saw things that ordinarily people see as calamity, or people see as unwanted. Needs is always considered unwanted. Certainly death, is considered something we don't look forward to. But the suffering that we undergo in life, no one wants it, and we try to avoid it. Even here, we're a little...
Anybody near a window, you can pull up a notch more.
Yeah, we can say that. It's hot. We try to figure out how can we avoid this uncomfortable feeling. The Queen Kunti, she prayed for calamity.
Yes.
She prayed for them because she was gifted, or achieved the vision to see those calamities as impetus for advancement in spiritual life. So, unfortunately for me, I guess, or certainly I can see the blessing over the last several years, many of my practices and my brothers have allowed me to be in their association at their point of departure. And watching their willingness to see that for devotional service, or seeing Krishna's hand for moving forward across his mission, has become a great blessing to me, although I'm not very happy but I think that being a survivor has means that you have that vision, that you can actually see that whatever happens is it's just Krishna's hand. It's adjusting things so that we can come closer to him. We can make a connection, that we can come closer to him. So, to get that vision as quickly as possible, then as soon as we get it, then everything in our life changes. The vision of everything that happens to us immediately changes. So the sooner we can get that, the more learning experiences, the more quickly we become closer to
him. I think what I realized today also is that we've had so many devotees who've left. And in so many cases that when we come to visit them, especially in their last days before departure, we see how much that they give to us. When you think about that, it can be a reminder of how much mercy is there within the movement. How Krishna hasn't forgotten, and how Sri Shapana Shatriya one is asking not to be forgotten, that so much of the power of the process comes forth. And it's not just, leaders or even some senior devotees. We've had, some young devotees who with laughing. It's amazing, you know, Krishna consciousness. And of course, one of our most recent movies of 50, I mean, it's astounding how she confronted her death. And you know, cancer is such a devastating, debilitating thing. And when I was in Hawaii, I was talking to her husband, and he was still in awe about how she consistently, you know, was chanting those, 64 rounds every day. And how she confronted when she found that she, the cancer had come back, and then the last stage. And so one case after another, in so many ways, in so many cases, you can see that, you know, we made the right choice by joining the movement.
I prefer to ask a question. Which is, you may have answered already, but if so, you can extend a little bit. We're very fortunate to see Krishna's arrangement for great devotees to lead us by the example through every stage of life. And also we bear the burden on the departure of great devotees and the mission of Srila Prabhupada. And we see there's so many of the greatest generals and acharyas and teachers and strong brothers and sisters and uncles and aunts are not here having taught us the final lesson, believing, as Lord Chaitanya left so much of the world preaching to future generations, and probably did the same. You've been such an example and wonderful in your bold preaching work. I was wondering if you could share some instructions how we can keep the spirit alive and how we can take an individual into our hearts, knowing that in the future, when you're not here, when others aren't here, that we need to continue that, or else really what you've given your life to will not be fulfilled. So how can we do that? Just sort of the only set of these other great questions.
That is the real issue, because it separates us from being a cult or a culture. The cult is very motivated towards a movement, like what he was saying yesterday. But it's a movement based on personality. And a culture is a movement based on trying to serve the movement. And so the sadhya or the conclusion, the goal, the siddhanta, that doesn't change with what persons may be, you know, the facilitators. And if we get too caught up in the facilitator, we miss the chance to connect the victory with the facilitation. That in one sense, guru doesn't mean anything to us because we want Krishna. But because Krishna has given us that we can know him through sadhya and figures of guru, then it becomes important. And so if we want to come to Krishna tonight, we have a duty to come as he is calling us. And who is calling us means that whatever is happening to us physically, whatever is happening to our mentors, or to our, what has happened to our previous acharyas, the same Krishna has been coming through. And now we have to be hungry and hungrier for that Christian. So that means the Shastra is still with us. And we'll live on and on and on, generation after generation. And the great sadhus, their example is there, especially now with all the difficulties of Kali Yuga, we have so much more technology to be able to be aware of what the sadhus did. In some ways, the devotees who come to the movement now have more chance to know more about Prabhupada than most of us when we were on the Prabhupada on the planet and we were with him. Because you have so many now things that you can read and hear about, you know, that's accessible. It is a matter of how much energy you have to research those and to find. What Prabhupada said in this darshan, what he said in this lecture, how he explained about this verse, in several different lectures how he explained about that verse. There's so many different things. And so this question is really important because we do a tremendous disservice to all of our great acharyas the Lord did not in Mother Buddha himself. If we're thinking that this experience is just for the moment, or just for the present connections that we have, whether it's a particular project only, particular relationship, or particular spiritual master, it would do a great disservice. The Prabhupada himself made it very clear in the Gimnani prophecy. The best way to glorify a person is not through monuments, is not through, you know, horrific words or whatever, but it's in creating communities that represent the ideas that they live by. The best way we allow Prabhupada to live on is that we let him live on through us. And the best way that we allow people to have greater appreciation for him is how we represent him. And see, that never stops. There's always more and more chance to be able to be used and to allow each of us to do our part, carry out the talent, or engage in our own battle crew, etc., to offer to the mission. When the spiritual master goes, and everyone's going to go. And every person's going to go. In fact, every father and mother's going to go. And so now, if it's like, now it's not important to be dedicated, it's not important to be more spiritual about one's life, because now the physical presence is not there, then that's a sign that one doesn't really understand, you know, who they were connected with and what they were connected with. When the teacher goes, it's even more important now that the class finds a way to appreciate each other more, to work together more, and to be attentive to the lesson. So, it's like the devotees here, you know, in my own case, I have disciples all around the world. Some of my disciples here in Washington, it's too far, this project. They kind of grew up so much on me only. So they're not even the ones that have the greatest difficulty when they're me. And so we're trying to make it very clear that I'm holding it right now. It never was about just a person. I mean, I went through some extra juggling to try to reach people in different communities, addressing a certain way and getting certain kind of topics and bringing some professional people forth. But the idea is that we're bringing you as an offering to the spiritual master. Like a few of my disciples now, I want to see letters from them. Because I've spoken to them a certain way, three or four like that, rascals. And I just cannot not be honest with them. But the basic thing is that whatever they offer me, I'm offering it to my spiritual master. And so I just can't offer such things to my spiritual master. Now the time that one is done, you know, one doesn't have a chance to wait and to pat you in the back while you gradually have a chance to understand and accept something. It's like, hold on a minute. Is this something you feel I can offer to Prabhupada? And from what you and I know of Prabhupada, you think what we offer to him. So, you know, okay, then just do what you have to do, but don't try to offer this or he need to offer this to the Prabhupada. Because often the guru is a disciple. If his degree is a disciple, it's his degree that he's a proper servant. So this should be something for all of our movements, we should be focusing on more, is that we're not just having a mother or father. We're having a family. So whether you're a spiritual master on the planet or not, if you're just thinking you and your spiritual master, you're doing a great disservice to the mission of Prabhupada, to the culture of devotion, and your own devotional people is not suggesting going to flourish. You have to be sharp enough, eager enough, and just natural enough to get help from so many, many different sectors. And this is why community is so, you know, it's so important. This is why Sangha is so important. So, in one sense, I'm extremely blessed, extremely fortunate, that I'm aware that I'm leaving. And those who connect with me are aware that I'm leaving. So they have a little more time, even if I left at 105, they still will be ready. But at least they have more chance to kind of honor the fact that our spiritual master is gone. And so some of them writing, and they write me, well, who should we take as a teacher? And I say, that's on you. You must look and see devotees who inspire you. You take more shelter of those devotees. You know, it's not that the guru is going to say, okay, now this Mataji and this guru Maharaj, yeah, these are the ones that you should take shelter. And this will really please me. Krishna ain't that small. It's much bigger than that. He has so many ways to help. And so therefore, the devotees have to see how Krishna's coming through someone and take advantage of it. And then hopefully have many teachers that they can help. Maybe Malati would like to. No more questions. Anyway, it's up to you, whatever you want. I'm your servant.
I'm
sure in the previous life we were God brothers sitting together, so I'm just going ahead of you to kind of arrange something here.
It's so easy since we have the topic of departure when you're sitting with this. And just thinking, actually, as you alluded to, departure is always going on. It's because there may be some possible time frame that after that departure is always there. And I see in my own fortunate and unfortunate experiences where Krishna's actually given me situations to become very serious in the service, even to the point of putting me into a situation where death was imminent. How easy it is to get into the survivor mentality. So, I'll just take that one. That's quite a little bit. Instead of increasing determination to be a fully committed servant. In the process of passing, there's in some cases consciousness, and in some cases the person may or may not be conscious. But what's really wonderful about what Prabhupada has given us is that it transcends the barriers of the physical body and mind. And the one experience that I did have that actually kicked me out of a certain situation, which was, you know, like you could say The Walking Dead, and it's quite a while that being a spiritual possession is quite dead. Ultimately, Krishna did put me into a situation where I was in a coma. I used to drop this as children and be less time, less than 12 hours. And it was like a place that should qualify, that there were some devotees who knew I was that this fallen person was in this fallen condition and they came and they were chanting. And at the same time, being the so-called tubes in terms of the hospital, I wasn't aware that I was brought in any person. But, you know, in that state of oblivion, you don't know if you're going to be living or dying at no consequence. But by the presence of the devotees who came,
there's a little louder, they have trouble hearing the steps.
They actually heard it, and then they come to sing and hear the chanting of the mantra. And, which is a surprise, because it explains in the Bhagavatam that you hear the mantra not through these ears, but through your whole from the heart. So there were some other noises, other discussions going on, you know, people put putting tubes and things in my body. There was a doctor and my family had come to say goodbye, and I didn't know any of them were there. But it was the standing that I heard. And at that time, there was actually a shift in the consciousness that I could detect in my unconscious state. And the consciousness changed for me, because I felt these devotees that they cared enough to come, and I was in a very uncaring state at that time. So you were speaking about the power of love and the effect of love, how we have to be conscious of that. This is a universal love,
absolutely afraid of it. And at that time, there was a ship, which I actually felt even sympathy when I was coming. Because I determined that I had lost a care. And it didn't mean that I had to live. I actually, up until that point, I actually thought I was dead. And I heard the chanting, I was even more convinced of it. But I managed to get my eye open, and when I heard the tune from the arm, I understood that I was put in this world. And the ship was in it. I actually, whether I come or go, I have to care. And then chanting is, well, that's in China. We really don't have a serious activity. We really need to, because you touch the nervous reaction, it's conscious and movement. We love stagnation. And the stagnation, we have to see within ourselves. It doesn't manifest otherwise. It's not like, you know, it's out there. It's in here. And, I think the gift of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the Hidayah. It's what survives us in the material world and revives us into spiritual consciousness. And whether one is living or dying, without this mantra, there is a decay. Yesterday, before coming here, I stopped to see one of God's sisters. The day before, she had fallen in New Vrindavan. And nobody knew about it. And she went to her apartment. And well, she went to the apartment of another God's sister who wasn't at present. And the God's sister called. And Rupa said that she was throwing up the story in text. And it was maybe almost a couple hours after the call. And so I think he told her to call another devotee in the community and have that devotee come down. And fortunately, Tilakini thought, let me check and see if she's called that devotee. So she called the devotee a little while later. And the group called her and said, no, I said, please go down immediately. She's hard to stop if she doesn't sound right. So the mother came down to her apartment and stars are inherent before it didn't even get physically. There was no blood that you could see externally or damage. She didn't look right and she wasn't looking right. She immediately called an ambulance. So when the ambulance got there, you know, when you can bother, it takes a while, so it's out there. And she's like my age, They asked her how old he was. She was. She said, 20. Mm-hmm. And they said, when did you call? She said, oh, a couple of days ago. So she was very disoriented already. And they brought her in the ambulance and took her to one hospital they determined that there was a serious trauma to the brain. They kind of figured that out there, but they couldn't deal with it. So they sent her to another hospital. And when they got, by the time they got there, and several hours had passed, and the doctor said, immediate operation, was in the body. So it was the 4 hours of surgery on the brain to reduce the swelling and pressure. And during that time, only this Mavati was there, and of course she couldn't be in the operation room. And this Mavati, in certain respects, may not seem like she's in a very good spiritual position right now. Which is true, but at the same time, because she's been given the gift of the home, and she's able to get the presence of mind, you know, she can't. Mm-hmm. And when I was a serious today, they kept her extremely sedated. They don't want her to move at all. And it was a little shocking to see this person with tubes in every place, and some kind of, I don't know what, in her head, some number of things in her head, touched up, discolored, and her mouth was kind of a feature, all of her teeth were showing, especially in her mouth. And, you know, she might as well have been dead, they have this sense of data. And it was listening in her ear, and then she went up by my father, because it's a lot more important to come here, this one, little fuck. And gifts from my father had given me, and I took I was just in a year. And, you know, I couldn't detect any changes or anything. I couldn't bear it, that's all I could see. Then later, just right at final finish, and I came and she was reading from the devotion book. And the nurses came and they had her stop. Because they noticed that when I found it in a year when we were reading, it was activating the brain. But under the circumstance, it was not advisable. They wanted to see for it to be allowed for this trauma to pass. And they're not even sure, you know, they want to see the damage. So then we probably wanted to go to the read and chant silently, or we didn't see the government were prepared for that. So obviously, you know, Lord Chaitanya won't neglect her. And we know the devotees. You know, so the departures can be in any form. And, you know, the Krishna, like I discussed with you at one point, you know, the Krishna factor can happen because definitely would happen in my case if there was nothing else left to hope for. And yet, I'm here, that was in 1989, which was 2005, I'm still here. I just mercy, because I was too sinful to go at that time. So, it's actually wonderful being with you, because it's also not wonderful. You know, to be honest, you didn't have to tell.
Still not major, that's the fun. Mark, you know, you've gotten a little bit more mellow, but you're still not major, mellow. But let us know about it. I'm not going to hear anything.
No, so as I was last night during your family prayers, you know, of course, many of us are primarily having family prayers for you, but I've started including all those known and unknown by us now, which you're also representing. Because there are many out there, like who knows who, but what a few of us.
Yeah,
she gave her life and her body to get Prabhupada's palace. Yeah. And her body's already a broken down mess because of having a net mister fall on top of it at one point where she was going to work at the palace. And so many other complications. So you kind of are representative, you know, for the so you're our Statue of Liberty. And we're going to deal with this as long as Krishna allows. She says, no matter how broken down this body gets, the Krishna factor is a lightning rod.
Yeah, let us pray for Lisa. And this is very brief. This is one of the downsides of my whole experience, is that I'm just thinking how much, as a leader, you know, there's facilitation and support system. Because there's so many devotees who, you know, if they reach this phase, wouldn't have the kind of support system that, you know, that we may have as leaders. We have to look closer at how we can facilitate, you know, those kind of devotees.
I wanted to add one thing. It's in Wheeling Hospital. It's on the third floor, room 343. Right downstairs, room 243.
Yeah.
Was decovering for them, giving birth to her little son, who showed up yesterday.
So, birth and death, I get another grant.
I was thinking, sitting here, hearing all of this, really strange how so many devotees here, disciples of yours, even in spite of hearing of you so many essential instructions, might be thinking, well, but I never really got personal instructions. I need to get some kind of personal instruction, even though you're giving the most pertinent instruction. And I
You know, I have a question for all of them that, you know, please let us know how we can serve you. And don't be shy because, you know, we need to know how we can serve you, how we can help you if there's some kind of buried pain. You know, this is our service to you, Martin. So, you know, we live here in Washington. We want to help in any way we can. We don't know sometimes if we help them. And I was just in India. And, well, first of all, I was thinking while you were talking that actually none of us are survivors. And remembering hearing Prabhupada talk on the tape about how actually death is an illusion. How really there is no death. But how that's such an elevated stage to be able to think like that. And remembering hearing him on his deathbed saying, everything is moving, acting, and the supreme desire of Krishna. And how my first impression when I read your Vyasputa offering, I was so disturbed at you and so really angry at you, thinking how much we need you in your progressive thinking and how, you know, this comes is going to be left with all the most arch-conservative people who think in small-minded and sectarian ways, and the people who are really not afraid to talk about the unacceptable things, those people are going to be God. And I remember Judy came back from India, she was with Radhanathaswami at the Rajamandala Parikram, and I was thinking, you know, was telling Ursulita that, well, I'm not praying the way he says to pray. I'm praying as Krishna's favor. She came back from Vrindavan and she said, Radhanathaswami was telling everyone, don't pray the way he says to pray. I heard a couple of stories that I wanted to share when we were just in India. One was about a Gagran Raj preaching to Sri Maharaj, who was a sannyasi disciple of Prabhupada and had a lot of difficulty at the end, and was not in the association of devotees at the end. He had AIDS, and he was living in a very fallen condition. And I just heard this story that he had AIDS.
Is that the story? Is that story
it's one about his mother? Yeah, okay.
Maybe it's one you haven't heard yet.
Yeah, I've heard some stories of it. I just heard this about his mother, so I'll tell
okay.
it.
Okay.
The source had integrity, so I'll repeat the story that he had AIDS, had been out of the association with devotees for many, many years, and he went to his own mother.
Mm-hmm.
And said, I'm John, please take care of me.
No, it wasn't true. I just heard it was dead. I'm telling you.
Okay.
And then I don't even know if it was raised.
So,
there's a couple of stories that I've heard recently that just, then those stories that they're not true.
Okay. I heard another story. Now, this story, this devotee told me that Mula Prakriti personally said this to her
mm-hmm.
on her deathbed, that she was just before leaving, and this devotee said that Mula Prakriti told her this story, that she had a dream that she was wandering around Vrindavan, and she was just walking around Vrindavan, and she came upon a big golden gate, and there was a big rock on the gate. And Prabhupada was inside the gate with all the devotees, all his disciples. And she said, Narayan Maharaj was outside.
Mm-hmm.
And Prabhupada said to her, don't worry, I have the key. Let you in. And that was such a breakthrough for her and such a big realization. She was able to fully take shelter of Prabhupada at that time. To the point where when Narayan Maharaj came to see her and she was leaving, he said, are you thinking of Krishna? And she said, I'm just thinking about my Shiva Prabhupada. And he said, well, you can think about me too. And she said, I'm just thinking about my Prabhupada. And I just wanted you to know that I went to so many holy places and I prayed everywhere for you that you would be fixed and remembered and absorbed in Krishna. I can't understand Krishna's will. We can only deserve you and serve all your disciples.
So, Mutana and Malati and Lakshmi, so many wonderful Prabhupada's regasses. I mean, they are our uncles, very uncles and aunties. And it's really, really important that we take more shelter of our uncles and aunties. It's really, really more important that we take more shelter of our great-great-grandfathers. Because all of this gives us a certain kind of encouragement and support. It's so wonderful when we read about the life and the writings of Vishwanath Chakravarti, read about the activities of Bhakti Vinod. It's so wonderful when we think about our present-day individual mentors. But how as wonderful is when we think about that Prabhupada created such a vast society with so much variegateness. And we have so many, many different kinds of devotees and different opportunities to be able to get shelter. And to be able to get inspiration and to fill our minds and to find out how we can serve. Our mission is a mission, of course, of trying to reclaim souls and simultaneously we're trying to become true ourselves. There's never a lack of different kinds of services that one can do. One of the ways is to inquire. Ask the older devotees, you know, how you can serve. Or if you have issues in your mind, as we're looking now at grief in different ways, that it's not something you hold in. It has to be processed. And one of the ways is processed, it has to be faced and worked through. And so especially these kind of caring devotees, who are there because they're one of the stones. And Prabhupada has empowered them in so many amazing ways. So this also helps me when I realize that Prabhupada is calling me. And I think I was reading something to Marcus Marcus saying at one point in terms of Prabhupada. Then I end because it's a late. Marcus Marcus is looking how when Prabhupada was leaving during those last few weeks and months, he went before the deities in Vrindavan. And he was praying to the deities, hey, Krishna, you've had so many pure devotees where you are. You know, why are you going to take our Prabhupada away? You know? It's a lie, come on. Let him stay with us. Because it's not that I'm pure. And I'm definitely blessed, and I won't be timid about that, because to say that I'm not blessed minimizes the mercy of my soul. So I'll let everybody know I am blessed by mercy in such a way, beyond my quality. But it really shows how vast Prabhupada's movement and vision is. And I've mentioned this and I'm in with this. Like in the early days, Prabhupada would send someone to a place. And sometimes it may be that you're feeling they may go to some other country even. And for us it was a little bit taxing. Like this devotee had a vision about trying to develop their project, would become familiar with them, and then he gets sent somewhere else. But that's how the movement spread. Prabhupada didn't wait until we were fully matured or two. There was another 5 or 6 leaders ready to take over in that situation. It was a need. The mission was an emergency mission. So, as I kind of sped up my situation by my prayers, and then it kind of facilitated Prabhupada to just choosing some people to serve in certain ways, and okay, you're offering yourself, okay, so let's go see. I mean, everything could change any moment. But to be honest, Prabhupada has already sent the helpers to take me out of the body already. So, you could all consider that I'm gone. And that the closures are there. Now, if you have the, if Prabhupada wants to change that, in the last moment, that's up to him. Because the last few days, the help was ready, and based on how ready I am, or how ready they're ready to move even beyond my readiness. So it's kind of a done deal at this point. But let us see. I mean, Krishna consciousness is so full of mystery, full of adventure. But still, there was so many ways. And we have some time that all of us have in the particular apartments that we have. So I'm just trying to kind of fanatically be a utilitarian as I always have been, fortunately, unfortunately. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to have a few weeks a month. So let me see how I can use whatever 3 weeks a month I have to offer value and to try to add a little more service, you know, to Prabhupada's mission here. So this is what I think about every day, almost every hour. And I'm like a loose cannon now. Be careful. Trying to think of ways how I can offer a little something here and there. And we'll see how long I'm allowed to do that before I become disturbed.
I just wanted to say something that it's kind of like a boat, you know, as you're talking to Prabhupada. As you probably felt a great sense of emergency when he came, he knew he was going to leave from the minute he got on the dollar vision. He knew his days were very numbered. And like you said yesterday, you know, he translated the Christian book, you know, he tried to do some restudy that they showed us, you know. But that emergency, that sense of emergency, has to remain with all of us, always. Mm-hmm. Rupa didn't have a notice like you have. She fell and, you know, maybe she'll leave or maybe she could have left. And we had one experience in the last week, just recently, where an 18-year-old devotee pursued, maybe, you know, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Gurukuli devotee was in the car, and he got hit by a UPS truck, and that was the end of the prison. And, big shock to all the Gurukulis. Oh my gosh, he was only 18 and he died. You can't even blame it on anybody else. You know what I mean? It was just, who do you say? So he was just, and the whole community, everybody, there were 700 people at his funeral, you know, amazed that an 18-year-old boy had left the planet. But 18-year-old boys are leaving the planet every day. Mm-hmm. So are 17-year-old boys and 2-year-old babies and 19-year-olds. And 28-year-olds. So all of us are in a state of emergency. We don't have time to sit around and think about when I get old, then I'll get it again. So I just impress upon you all, because Prabhupada impressed upon us all, that the material world is in a state of emergency, and we're in a state of emergency. We have to become Krishna conscious right now. Whatever we have to do it now. We can't wait until we get old, because I may be older than you. I may not make it back to Florida. Who knows when anyone else will leave. So whatever you need to do, do it to become Krishna conscious somehow or other. Fix your life in such a way. And don't wait 1 second. Do it now.
Okay, so etymology, then we'll stop. We have some prasadam for everyone. And we'll let you get free from the hot one.
Well, I just wanted to make a small comment. I remember last year at one point in time when it became apparent this was such a serious illness you were facing. Mm-hmm. And I think Srimad Bhagavatam had the name small letter from the Jesus itself. That when it became apparent last year that Maharaj's illness was serious, and we would have to imagine Bhakti Sri Maharaj appeared in the smaller from the GDC concert. And, you know, he kind of ended by saying, you know, don't know we need you. And when I read that, everything else was okay, but when I read that, I really didn't like it. We don't want you to stay because we need you. We want you to stay because we love you.
Yeah. Yeah. To get going upstairs and just take a shot and then I come and start taking my medicine. Thank you all for coming. and see how much we have together. But Latin money that last word, or a good epilogue, is that we are moments away from leaving the body. We all have to be very serious about what we do. And things can happen so rough, and they do happen very rough. So we're all looking at our own lives and let's look closer at, you know, committing ourselves with greater intensity. Sorry.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I couldn't.